praying. And I hope, Lord, that the Lord will put it on the hearts of ladies especially. Ladies, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with y'all, get you a prayer partner and let's pray for the youth rally. The youth rally, I think, is the best thing around this part of the country for young people anywhere. In the spring, we put so much prayer and work into it that it's just, in my opinion, you can't get a young person in anything any better than our youth rally. And so, let's get down to business. 72 days from today is the Giant Spring Youth Rally. So, we're going to get to work on it. Leviticus chapter number 9. I want you to take your Bible and look at Leviticus chapter number 9. And I want you to help me, and we're going to do a little Bible study. Derek and them's gone, and Brother Jason, Crystal's sick, and so I need y'all to help me now. I need y'all to help me in the absence of all these folks here tonight. Let's get on call and help me tonight as we do a study. And I'm going to tell you how we can get God's glory in our church. God's glory in our church. God's glory in our church would be the absolute best thing could happen to us. A man called me the other day. He said, "Preacher, I heard you had some dirt up there on the hill you want to get rid of." I said, "We got plenty of it." And we prayed about that. I hope that we can get rid of this big bank up there. Makes a bunch more room out there. And we're working on a deal on that right now. That's great. But that's not what we need the most. We need God's glory in this church. We need God's glory in our church. And this chapter tells us what to do to get God's glory. Now, I want us to look at it. It's very simple. The outline of this little study tonight is right in the Scripture. Everything I'm going to say will come right out of the Scripture. If you want God to move on your teenagers, if you want God to get a hold of your family, your kids, grandkids, you know, since I got grandkids now, I worry about them. I pray for them every day, and I think, Lord, let them see your glory. They've never seen it. These kids coming up now, most of them don't know the glory of God. Some of us old-timers, we've seen the glory of God. But a lot of these kids have never seen God's glory. They need to see it. They can't go off what happened to me and you back in the old days. They need to see God's glory. And your kids, and the kids that we'll be bringing on our buses, those bus kids need God see God's glory. There ain't nothing in the world will change a person's life like the glory of God coming down in a church. So, let's look at it here. Verse 6. Leviticus 9:6. Everybody look at it. And it said, "And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear to you." So he's going to give them a formula. I know this is Old Testament, but in type, we can apply it to us. He said, "I'm going to tell you how to get the glory of God." All right? Here, let's do it. Let's prepare. We prepare to church. Come to church. What to do to get ready. A service without worship and glory is drudgery. Going to church where there's no glory of God is a task. Going to church where God never blesses and God never moves, it's boring. It's dead. You just do it out of obligation. I like church when you can't wait to get there and you're looking forward to it. You think, man, something good going to happen today. That's the way it's supposed to be. Can't be like, excuse me, always, but it can be. Now, we get ready for church. You know, I see everybody in here. You're all dressed up, look real nice and everything. Looks like you spent at least 5 minutes getting ready, most of you. Some of you a little more, some a little less. But you know, we get ourselves ready. I took a shower this evening. I put on a shirt and tie, ironed this shirt. I made sure, you know, my teeth was brushed, my hair was combed. I was getting myself. Now, just like you get your body ready, you have to get your spirit ready. You have to get your soul ready. You have to pray and prepare and work if you want God to do something for you when you get to church. You can't just be full of junk all day long and the world, and then come to church and expect God just to flood your soul and change everything and bless the fool out of you. There's got to be some preparation. So, here's what he said. All right, verse 7. Here's what we got to do if we want God's glory at the youth rally. "And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded, and Aaron therefore went unto the altar. The first thing we've got to do is get in this altar and get ourselves right with God. That's it. That's it. No great revelation. No secret formula. They ain't no. I can't say now, all right, we'll do this and I'll call somebody and we'll have this great singing group and glory God for it. Nope. First thing we need to do is get in this altar and get our hearts right with God. As a matter of fact, that's the answer to your marriage problems. That's an answer to your physical problems. Get in the altar and get right with God. I am a firm believer in people using the altar. That's what it's for. We built this altar. This altar is not so I can have a way up and down. We could have just made one little set of steps and I could have done that. We started right there. That altar goes from wall to wall, all the way across this place. And that's an altar, rock altar over there. And this carpet. This altar ought to be used. We ought to use this altar. I've heard people criticize people and say, oh my goodness, they go to the altar every Sunday. There ain't one thing in the world wrong with a person going to the altar every Sunday. I mean, our preacher used to say, if you got to wear your britches legs out on this altar, that's fine. That's what it takes for you to stay right. And buddy, that's what it takes in this day. Now, I've seen people go twice the same service. Now, you know, they might not always be sincere, but I don't have no problem with people going to the altar. If it's in the middle of the service, if it's in the middle of the singing, if it's in the middle of the preaching. I've been preaching before, and the Lord move in, and just have to quit. Just cut the sermon in half. Just bust it loose, and the altar filled up. And sometimes I go back and sit down to finish the sermon. I've seen it like that lots of times. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to use the altar. There is no person in here that's living so right that you don't need a trip to the altar once in a while. If you are physically unable to kneel, then okay. But if you're able, it wouldn't hurt you once in a while to go to the altar and pray about stuff. It won't hurt you at all. There's nothing sissy about that. There's nothing weak. There's nothing that doesn't mean you're some kind of a weakling. That doesn't mean, I know people say, well, if I went to the altar, people would think I was, oh my goodness, they might think I was out doing some awful wicked. It don't matter what people think. You need to come to the altar, you get in the altar. That's the first step. We think too highly of ourselves in this generation. I've never seen such a proud, proud generation. I've heard told you that illustration before. One of these guys, he's some athlete, he's a basketball player or something, some of them they call him Superman, like old Dwight Howard, I believe they call him Superman. And some of them, guys call him because he makes a bunch of touchdowns or something, because he's bigger and stronger than everybody, he's on Superman. And he got on an airplane one time, and he's sitting down like that, and the flight attendant, she comes back through there, you know, they check everybody, and she said, excuse me, sir, you have to put your seatbelt on. And he said, my girl, he said, no, I don't need it. She said, excuse me, sir, you have to put your seatbelt on. He looked at her and he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she looked back at him and said, Superman don't need no airplane. That's right. Ain't that right? If he was Superman, he could fly. If you're that tough, you don't even need the airplane. But he thought he was bigger and tougher than he really was. And there's a lot of Christians like that. Super Christian don't need no altar. Yeah, he does too. Yes, he does. She does. He does. There ain't one of us in here that what fails God, and it don't hurt us a bit once in a while to hit the altar on our knees. I'm telling you, I don't hardly get to listen to preaching much, but when I sit here and listen to them guys preach at the camp meeting, it don't matter who preaches, and it don't matter what they preach on, I feel like I need to go to the altar. Every time. You say, well, Brother Danny, you must be a sorry. Yep, I am. I'm a sorry Christian, and I know that I need all the help I can get. And if you got this attitude of, I don't need to go to no altar. I'm better than these other people. There ain't no hope of God ever blessing in your life. You have to go under the altar. Humble yourself. There's one thing that God will not bless, and that is pride. When you start thinking, the Bible said, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before fall. That's right. You know that scripture. Don't ever get to thinking you're all this hot stuff, you know, because you're headed down. And so, the first thing you do is go to the altar. I heard a great preacher one time. They said, "Preacher, what do you have to do to have a revival?" He said, "I want to have a revival. I always see people in our church that get right. We need revival." And you know what that preacher told him? He said, "If you want a revival, go home." And he said, "Take a piece of chalk and draw a big circle. And you get in the middle of that circle and kneel down. And you say, 'God, start the revival inside this circle.'" He said, "That's the way to do it. Don't, 'God, if you'd get a hold of my wife, well, you know, Lord, if my husband would get right up, no. Lord, if these wicked people in our church would straighten up, God," no, he said, "draw a circle. You get in the middle of that circle, and you say, 'God, start the revival in that circle.'" You know what? That's what I'm trying to do. I prayed today. I prayed, and I said, "God, please do something in our church. Please." And I said, "But Lord, it's going to start with Brother Danny right here. That revival is going to start in my heart. The youth rally spirit has got to start right here in my heart." And if you'll do the same thing, we have a tendency to look at other people. And we say, "Boy, if so-and-so would straighten up." I've heard people say, "Well, so-and-so's a hindrance to the whole church." And you don't have no right to be judging on so-and-so. You just make sure you're right with God. And start the fire and let it spread. The old people used to say, "It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, stand in need of prayer." So that's the first thing you do. Alright, let me show you something else. Look at this scripture. Keep your Bibles open there now. I want you to look at verse 10. The next thing you got to do. "But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver," this is the cow offering beast that they're offering, "of the sin offering, he burnt upon the altar as the Lord commanded. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp." So the next thing you got to do is you got to burn the flesh and the hide. I've heard people say, "Boy, preacher, you tanned our hides." That's exactly what we've got to do to see God's glory. You have to take the Word of God and burn that flesh and hide. Our flesh is wicked. Your flesh is wicked. My flesh is wicked. And if you leave it alone, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that's why we're going to come to church, because the preacher takes the Bible and just... You ever heard anybody say, "Man, he blistered my hide"? That's what we're supposed to do with the Bible. I've even heard people say, "Well, I'm mad at him. He said he hurt my feelings. He said something that just... I'm just not going back." And I just thought, listen, I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that didn't hit you once in a while. Now, I know it ain't fun. Nobody likes to have their hide burnt. Unless you like sunburn. I don't like sunburn. Hey, amen. It hurts. I don't like it when some preacher gets up and just rips my head off. And I say, "Oh my goodness, man, he's preaching right to me." But that's the way to get God's glory. Get that old sin preached off of you. I mean, if you've been doing something wrong, and the guy gets up here and he preaches, like you're shacking up, or you're drinking liquor, or you're running around or doing something wrong, and the preacher gets up and says, "Yeah, you better get right with God, you sorry, good for nothing thing." You don't get mad and say, "Well, I'm just not going back. He said something that hurt my feelings." You say, okay, you got me. I let my hide burn right there. Burn the fat, burn the hide, burn the flesh, burn it up, sacrifice it, let it go. Listen, you are not much of a mature Christian if you can't take some preaching that rubs you the wrong way once in a while. I'm telling you, I listen to all of them. I get me a Field Kid tape out every now and then. I get me some of them, the hardest preaching you can get, and just say, I just do like this the whole time. And it's good for you. It's good for you to get slapped around a little bit. Get some of them guys on the internet, and them Jack Hiles tapes, and some of them. It's good for you. You may not even agree with a lot of things they say, but it's good for you for somebody just to bless you out and hit you and say you're doing wrong. Straighten up. It's good for you. Good for you. Good for you. The Bible said in the last days, listen to me. The Bible says in the last days, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's what churches want nowadays. They want, "Well, let's go ahead and have a teaching ministry. I want somebody to teach me." Why? So they won't talk about your short dresses and your cigarettes or your rock music or your not. You know why? You don't want nobody talking about what you're doing wrong. Now, we ought to teach. We ought to teach the Bible. But we ought to preach about what's wrong. Amen? Good for you. Good for you. I want my kids. I give Carrie a tape every morning and I say, listen to this. CD. You say, I don't know if they do or not. I ask her about a week later, did you listen to that CD I gave you? And when the girl, I say, listen to this. I took Corey and Wesley, that Courageous movie. And I said, watch this. They fooled around. I said, you going to watch it tonight? They said, yeah, we're going to. Well, this happened. We was tired. Baby was sick. All right, watch it tomorrow night. I fussed at them till they finally watched it. Amen. You know, you have to stay. You have to continually stay on your kids. Now, I heard a preacher say something on the radio, and I agree with him 100%. He said, just because they're 21, they don't cease to be your kid. There's nothing in the Bible that says you are to quit instructing them when they're 18. Bible don't say that. Listen, as long as I'm alive, mine's going to get it. Amen. I mean, when they're 50, I'm going to call. My mom did me. My mom preached to me until she got where she wasn't able. She's 78, and she preached to me. Sometimes she'd say, now, Danny, you should. I'd say something preaching. She'd say, you shouldn't say that, son. And I mean, a lot of people probably thought it, but Mom had the authority to tell me. And she said, you shouldn't say that. And I said, okay, Mom, I'll pray about that. And you should do that. Now listen, your attitude ain't right. I mean, she preached me, and I do my girls all the time. I said, that ain't right. You know, I preached to them about being friendly. I said, y'all are snobby. They said, we are not. And I said, people look at you, and they think, you see my daughters? And they said, that's preacher's girls right over there. And they look at, and you don't speak to them. They think, boy, what a bunch of snobby kids. But they're wondering the same thing about you. How come they don't speak to me, Daddy? But you know what? I preach to them all the time. Burn that flesh. Burn that fat. Amen? That's what we do physically. We say, boy, I'm going to exercise and burn this fat off. I was at McDonald's. I don't know if they've made a law about this or something, but now they put up this chart over how much calorie. Why do they do that? Do they not know that's bad for business? That's a law? Well, how come Steakhouse don't do it? They're jealous of McDonald's because it's such a success. Did they really? That's awful. Why? You can't enjoy sitting there looking at a big chart. Every bite was like 500 calories. One bite. I had a Big Mac and French fries, and it was like, what is it, like 800 or something like that? 1,100?
Probably 1,200 just for the
sandwich?
Yeah.
And the French fries? Huh? Well, I figured it up. I thought, well, I'll run tomorrow morning. And I figured it up, and you'd have to run like 10 miles just to get rid of that hamburger. Not counting the other two meals that night. It's like that guy said he went to the doctor, and the doctor put him on a 2,000 calorie a day diet. He said, you can only have 2,000 calories a day. And because we're getting worried about you, you're going to have a stroke or something. He come back 6 weeks later, and he gained 8 pounds. And the doctor said, I don't understand this. Are you eating 2,000 calories a day? He said, I sure am. He said, well, I don't understand you gained 8 pounds. He said, I don't either unless it's that 5,000 at night I'm getting. He's eating 2,000 a day and 5,000 at night. But, you know, you have to burn that off. You have to run a kiss and burn that off. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. The world gets on you. And we get weighted down with the things of the world. I'm doing a little study getting ready for the youth rally and talking about the media. Did you know that television began 100 years ago, or how long it's been now, 80 years ago, whatever. It began as just something just to entertain people. It had old westerns and it would show. But by the 1920s and 30s, the devil already got in it. And they say now that the average person, our kids grow up thinking the way TV teaches us to think. We grow up brainwashed by TV. We're living in a generation. We think like TV tells us to think. We dress like TV tells us to dress. We act like TV tells us to act. We don't. And all the seats in our house are set around that big God with a glass face. And if you're not careful, you will let the world dictate to you how you raise your kids, how you think, instead of the Word of God. And we need to get it that old fat burn off once in a while. Anybody, somebody want to say something there just a minute ago? Yes, ma'am. Sure did. I'm getting it on video. That Nina Maja, whoever she is, Nikki. Yeah. It was really, really bad, y'all. I got phone calls and texts and everything. She is some rapper. I'd never even heard of her. She's trying to outshock people like Lady Gaga, and so she comes out to Grammys the other night. I didn't even know this on till that. I didn't even think to watch. All this wanting to do is do a big thing for Whitney Houston, and she comes out and she gets demon possessed. She has an alter ego, and an alter ego is a movie star or a rock singer who gets possessed with another personality, which we know is a demon. And they call it their alter ego. Her alter ego is Roman somebody or another. Just like Beyonce. Beyonce has an alter ego. And she says when she goes on stage, this other person she calls Sasha Fierce possesses her. And she says, when I'm up there, that's not me. That's Sasha. And it's a demon spirit. It sure ain't the Holy Spirit. And there ain't, if it ain't the Holy Spirit, it's a wicked spirit. So when Beyonce performs, or anyway, this girl got Roman that was trying to cast her out, and she was levitating, going up like that, and the priest was kind of cast the demons out of her, and her eyes were rolling back. They done an exorcism at the Grammys the other night. And some of the people were saying, that's awful, that's awful, she shouldn't say that about religion and stuff, and they're right. But then all these thousands of young people were saying, cool man, she's the greatest. And they've gone crazy over her. And that's the generation we're living in. She showed up with the Pope, this guy's supposed to be the Pope. How many of y'all saw that? It's on YouTube, you can see it. What's her name, Nikki? Nicki Minaj. All she is a little demon-possessed girl wanting attention and money. And they said Lil Wayne anointed her. He ordained her to the ministry. I don't know. I didn't see any of it except for Nicki Minaj. And Tim's getting it for me in case I want to put it in my rock message. But that's what we're working against, folks. Alter ego is another way of saying I'm possessed by a spirit. And this thing I was watching, this documentary I was watching, it went all the way back to Mae West. And this guy that used to be like the first greatest movie star. Way back. Does anybody know? His name's like Valentine. Rudolph Valentino. He was like one of the first great heroes of the screen, that him, his wife, and them talked and conjured spirits to help them write movies. And I don't know how many others, they said just they get in touch with the spirit and the spirit dictates to them movie scripts. And there's a lot more. You don't just get famous for nothing. Just like a preacher. When God uses a preacher, it's because the Lord's anointed him. The Lord's on him. And when the devil uses somebody, the devil's spirit is on them. So they said, Johnny Depp said there's like 20 different people inside him or something like that. I'll get the quote for you. 20 people, she said, inside me that come out. A lot of those things, a lot of those movie stars, contemporary movie stars, saying that another spirit gets a hold of them. Denzel Washington come out, and I got an interview of him, and he said before he played this scene, most of y'all probably seen the movie, he said he got down on his knees and gave himself to the spirits and the spirits came in him, and they said he gave such a performance that it was unbelievable that a human being couldn't do what he did. And Oprah said the same thing. Oprah Winfrey said, some movie she was in, that she said, I opened myself to the spirits of these people that I'm trying to play, and they come in me. They think like, say like I'm playing Elvis or something in a movie. I try to contact the spirit of Elvis, and I'm in my room, and I say, just Elvis, just inhabit me. Elvis, just inhabit me. Well, guess what? Something shows up claiming to be Elvis, and it'll inhabit me. But it ain't Elvis. Elvis long gone. He's in heaven or hell, brother, and he ain't coming back. And listen, that ain't Elvis, and it ain't Marilyn Monroe. And that's what we're up against, people. And if we don't have a revival in this country in another 20 years, you're not going to believe the world you're going to be living in. You're not going to believe the world you're going to be living in. Our kids growing up, I told Carrie, I said, Carrie, I worry about these kids every day. I said, make Dax get out, make him play in the dirt. Make him get his hands dirty. You want him to be a boy all his life. Don't let him be sissy. Don't let him play with dolls. Don't let him mess. Make him be a boy. Make them girls be girls. You think I'm crazy? You don't know the plan the devil's got for these kids in another 15 years. In 10 years from right now, if a kid's not bisexual, they'll laugh at him at school. 10 years. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. You wait and see. Look at just what's happened in the last 10. In the last 10 years. If a kid is a girl, won't date a girl, in another 10 years, they'll be made fun of. And they already are in a lot of places. It's already happening. Brother, if we don't get the glory of God back on us like we need to, we are in trouble. And I'm not overstating it. I'm understating it. Burn that flesh. Burn that flesh. Amen? A preacher's supposed to tell you the truth. There's no need in the world for a compromising preacher. There's no need on this earth for a soft-spoken, beating around the bush preacher who's just wanting a paycheck or a retirement plan or a new car every year and building a big crowd and patting everybody on the back. There ain't no use for that. There ain't no need for it. We need somebody that'll holler out and say, hey, right's right, wrong's wrong, and we've got to get back to God where we need to get. Amen? Anybody else right quick? Right quick. I'm just going to say a couple more things. All right, look at verse 12. We're about done. Look at verse 12. And it said, and he slew the burnt offering, which he sprinkled and presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. That's the next thing we've got to do is we've got to plead that blood. Plead the blood. Trust the blood to cleanse you. Claim the blood. Plead the blood. If you feel like you're being attacked by demonic powers and spirit, plead the blood. Plead the blood over your children. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. Plead every day. How many of you have done this? How many of you ever felt like, boy, it just seemed like the devil's all over me today? You ever feel like that? Like, whew, I'm taking crazy thoughts and I can't keep my mind straight and I'm trying to read the Bible and I'm having a wicked, ungodly things come at me and you know what to do when you get like that? Lord, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. And buddy, that's the only way you can get rid of the devil. That's the most effective power against the devil. They talked to people that those UFO abductees and all them people that have been abducted to UFOs, and they say there's only one thing that's ever stopped one of them, like when those entities are in their room and stuff, and that's when somebody pleads the blood of Jesus. And they said, when you plead the blood of Jesus, that crowd goes out the door. They're gone. And that'll get rid of the devil. That's the only force against the devil. I got a friend of mine down in South Carolina. Good buddy of mine, and him and his wife, they're divorced now, but back years ago when I go preach down there, I'd stay with them down in Florence, right this side of Myrtle Beach. And when I go down there and preach, I'd stay at their house. And they told me one time, they said, Brother Danny, his wife, guy's wife, Cindy, she said, and she was a lady that, she just looked like somebody like that. She looked very, very nice dressed and everything, but she looked wicked, you know what I mean? And she said, before I got saved, she said, I was possessed. And she said, I know. She said, and I said, whatever. And I didn't really. And she said, I know I was. She said, they would come in our room at night when we were trying to sleep. And I said, well, how do you know you was really possessed. She said, I know I was. And I said, well, did you ever do anything with the occult or anything like that when you was growing up? She said, oh yeah. She said, I messed with tarot cards. I played with Ouija boards. She said, I was in all kinds of the occult stuff. And she said, they would come in our bedroom at night, spirits would. And I asked him, I said, Steve, did you ever see anything here? He said, no, I never heard nothing, see nothing. He said, but I could smell them. There was this smell like rotten eggs. That's brimstone, sulfur. And he said, I could smell it coming out of our room. A lot of people have that same smell when there's demonic activity around. And so must have been a lot of demonic activity around that dinner we had back there one time. But anyway... might have been just something burning. But anyway, she said one night they came in there and they said, we're going to get you. And she said, no, you're not. And they said, we're going to get you. And they said, no, you're not. In the name of Jesus, get away from me. And they said, we'll get your kids. And the kids was in the living room watching TV. And they jumped up and run in the living room. And their kids, they were laying there asleep, just jerking all over the room, middle of the floor. And they had to plead the blood to get those spirits out. I don't know. You say, well, I don't believe that. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you what they said. He's a good Christian man, preacher, loves God. And I'm just telling you, that's what we're up against. The Bible said in the last days, there'll be seducing spirits. We're going to see a major increase in demonic activity. And the only hope we got is to plead that blood. All right, I'm going to stop right there. We'll do some more of this later. But you'll notice in verse 24, there came a fire out from before the Lord, consumed the altar, and all the people shouted and fell on their face. The glory of God did come down. I'm going to ask you to help me. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Youth rally is April 27th, and we're going to start tonight. I want to ask you to start tonight. We'll start our 40-day fast here in about 3 weeks, but let's start tonight really bearing down and praying. Okay? Anybody got a comment or question right quick? Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.